The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my own joy may be in you and your joy be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. A man can have no greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I shall not call you servants anymore, because a servant does not know his master's business. I call you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have learnt from my Father. You did not choose me, no, I chose you, and I commissioned you to go out and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you anything you ask him in my name. What I command you is to love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Friendship is one of the most important aspects of human living. Having friends, that matters from our earliest days. We all know how our children in school, your children, your grandchildren, when we were there at school, fall in and out of friendship in their early years. But it's all part of that sort of interplay of forming friendships. But of course, it's the child that has no friends, or says he has no friends, she has no friends, that's got and storing up problems for the future. And I often think the saddest funerals that I have to take are often when only one or two, or sometimes no one at all, turns up to bid a farewell. I always remember one of those fridge magnets somebody used to have, and it said, "Friends are the family you choose for yourself. The family you have is given to you. Your friends are the family you choose for yourself." The person we know most who worked with people who had no friends, of course, was Mother Teresa. I mean, obviously loads through history, but she's one that we can focus on. Because she reached out to the outcasts and the destitute in every society, but particularly, of course, in India and Calcutta. And that image of her picking up and hugging those scraps of humanity picked up off the streets, filthy, dirty, diseased, destitute, friendless. And she was putting into action what we hear Jesus saying in that gospel, "What I command you is to love one another." I think these days of Easter time, when we are hearing so much of the Last Supper discourses, Jesus preparing his disciples for that great moment we shall celebrate at Pentecost, well, Ascension next Sunday, then Pentecost, when he commissions them to go out, he's preparing them for all that. And so what we've got this morning in all the readings, really, but particularly in the Gospel and St. John's letter, are so full of love, affirmation, and encouragement, because he knows that's what we need. That's what our children need. It's what we all need at all times and points through our lives. That love, affirmation, encouragement. And maybe we should go on reading them. Maybe that's why on the newsletter, to take it home, reread them. Maybe each day, a little task each day, read the readings again, particularly the Gospel, but also John's letter, that we can memorize them. Keep on proclaiming them. Hear what beautiful statements he's making there. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. That my own joy may be in you. That your joy may be complete. We can have no greater love than to lay down our lives for our friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." It's one thing to say, "I'm your friend," But there's even more affirmation in hearing someone say, "You are my friend." Friends that Jesus shared, that he communicated with, all that he was thinking and planning. And so he gives then this final command. What I command you is love one another. But we can't give to one another what we haven't got. So we've got to know within ourselves that we've received love from God. And that's why Jesus is so affirming them in that love and friendship before he then asks them to share that love. And to share not just love, but his love. The love of God that comes to us through Jesus in the power of the Spirit. And of course, we're always reminding ourselves that God loved us so much that he gave his only Son, and his Son poured out of his side for us that blood and that water to feed and nourish us. Of course, our children in their first communion were reflecting this morning. I reminded them of that beautiful story, so moving, of when Cardinal Hume went to Africa, to Ethiopia, to the famine there, because he felt as someone of his stature could do something to help. And you've heard the story before, some of you have anyway, but it's always reminding ourselves the little lad that sort of, he almost attached himself to the cardinal as the cardinal got off the plane and wouldn't leave him. And he kept holding Cardinal Hume's hand, and the cardinal said he kept rubbing his hand against his face to sort of affirm himself in his love. And then he said, of course, with his other hand, he kept pointing to his mouth and saying, "Feed me." That's what the Lord does. It's what our children celebrated this morning, the love that God shows us, and he shows that love by feeding them. I did say to the children, I did ask if they were starving, and one little girl said she was. There's never fails, I think, nearly every time. But I did remind them that if their mum or their dad or whoever looks after them at home put an empty plate in front of them every time they sat down for a meal and said, "I love you, I really love you," but didn't put anything on the plate, it wouldn't be long before they began to doubt that love. And that's why the important part of our Mass is that that's what the Lord does. He doesn't give us an empty plate. He loves us so much that he feeds and nourishes us. But when Mother Teresa came to the Western world, she sort of was appalled by a hunger of spirit, a hunger, in a sense, almost of love, because she reflected that we'd almost fixed love to mean only one thing, and that was a sexual context, which she found to be so shallow and leading often only to despair and depression, which are common aspects of current society, if you think about it. And the inevitable consequence that atheistic materialism leads to, actually, an increasing number of suicides, of abortions, of life-escaping addictions, people feeling alienated, even in their own homes and families. And you see, we love because God loves us. But if you don't believe in God, or you don't know God, it's hard to take that in. And if you put all your things in material goods, what we all know is how rapidly they can disappear, or how quickly they can be taken from us one way or another, or we can be taken from them, of course. But I think you get what I'm saying. And so she was really saying that we meet people here in the affluent societies that are starved of love, not necessarily of food. The destitute, of course, were starved of both, but starved of love, because their life story tells only of hurt and failure, and if all they've heard from people is more blame than affirmation, more criticism than gratitude, more hurt than healing, then is it any wonder? And so Jesus reaffirms to us the love of God. And of course, the love of God is there all around them. But if they cannot come forward to receive its nourishment because of all their hurt in their memory, or they've never even heard or known or believe in that love. So we need to keep coming back to these beautiful readings that they are for us today. That second reading from St. John. And by calling us friends, Jesus says, you're not servants anymore. So keep reminding yourself, you know, there's an old hymn, what a friend I have in Jesus. Some of the old ones are the best, you know. That's right. We can be able to walk in. I say to the children, when you're in feeling like tears in the playground, what's happened? What a friend we have in Jesus. I'm your friend, even unto death, he's saying to you. And when we know that within ourselves, every inch of our body, that we're deeply, jealously, preciously loved, then that's when you begin to blossom and to bear fruit, because we've no fear and we've nothing to worry about. And so that love we can then pass on to others. All these weeks of Easter time are doing this reaffirmation. Jesus is the good shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Jesus is the vine who feeds and nourishes his people. Jesus who says, love, I love you. You are my friends. Go and spread that love wherever you are.